We'll do it live! Do it live!
Holy smokes.
That's shocking when you think about it.
There's nothing you want to look at.
What? Oh
my God.
This is where the fun begins.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Hey, I made it back safely, everybody. I'm 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. And with fully functional fill-in producer Wyatt. And I just spent a week with Wyatt. And so, you know, I'm not in control of who names your kids what, but you come preloaded with love and hugs and big scratches behind the ears.
Thank you, Brian.
Wearing a Everett Aquasox hat, and I just dipped into the Mariners yesterday. Didn't watch them at all the week of the vacay, and they're getting shelled by the Brewers. And so there's that. That happened. Can we all stop acting like we care about women's basketball now? Okay. I said it. Yes. Phenomenal athletes and the whole thing. But, okay. So there we go. Well, today's the day just imagine right now there are people so stupid that by 1 p.m. today, they will have damaged their vision for the rest of their lives because they're in totality's path. That's too long of a sting, I got to say. I've been auditioning different stings for today's phenomenal event. That one's too long, so that's a no. For totality's path. That's a little too sci-fi-ish, I gotta say. Totality's path. Here's a different one. That's a no. Hard pass on that one. All right, so let's try. Final one here. Totality's path. Is it a sign from God? I don't know. Of those, then there was four. Which one do you like, fully functional producer fill-in Wyatt?
The last one was very angelic almost. I feel like it fit the aura of today.
There was an article here on the West Coast about that in some native cultures, it holds more meaning because of superstition. And in mestizo, in indigenous Mexican culture, Mayan or Aztec, the wearing of black to ward off bad spirits during an eclipse is literally superstition because they could not predict apocalypse. An eclipse because there's a myth that it was the harbinger of the destruction of the Mayan Empire or something. And so, you know what? Here's the thing about progress. Here's the thing about science, the art of writing stuff down that you figured out and passing it on, as it turns out. Just something nearly unique to Western culture, so I will stand up for Western culture on that one. Helps to write stuff down, said Copernicus. So because we lurched, and Copernicus is a great example. Copernicus was the Catholic priest who said, you know what? Maybe it's us orbiting the sun, but with different orbital paths, and that would explain why Mars seems to slow down and then speed up. And then they said, to purgatory with you, Copernicus. But I mean, you can see just with people with the enthusiasm about this predictable event. And I happen to be in 2017 in totality's path in Oregon. And you know what I did not do? You know what I'm so tired of today? Being told, are you ready, everyone? Don't stare at the sun. Which seems, I pretty much mastered that by the time I was three, I gotta say. The whole don't stare at the sun thing. So, and I mean, it's not a public service to continually repeat that on every news show over the weekend. Okay, first of all, don't look at it. That's not a revelation. But the what's funny is all the astrophysicists are so excited about getting the attention and the camera in their face. They have to start with that. Okay, first of all, it's really important not to look in the sun. And it was a month ago that there was a story in the BBC about a woman in 2017 who went to an ophthalmologist and said, yeah, there's like a blind spot in my eyes. It's almost crescent-shaped. And this is just like 2 weeks after the Oregon totality's path debacle. And the ophthalmologist hooked her up to the thingy, to the whatever, the who's he what's it. And sure enough, she had a crescent-shaped scar on both eyes. So, I mean, if somebody is that stupid, they're not going to hear you say, okay, first of all, don't stare at the sun. So anyway, bring it on. That's my thing on this one. And so here's, by the way, as far as stupid media people today, here's Mika Brzezinski with this hard-hitting question to their astrophysicists on MSNBC today.
Oh, so if it's a cloudy day, you miss it, right?
If it's a cloudy day, you miss it, yeah.
Thank you for that, everybody. Did you know that, Wyatt?
That is shocking news to me. Yeah, that's an odd concept.
When it's cloudy, in fact, the Vikings had a trick, by the way, because if you're using a sun compass, that's kind of a bummer. You got to know where the sun is. And the Vikings discovered such as your Iceland, such as, and your Greenland, and your Nova Scotia, because they had a sunstone. They had a stone that filtered out everything but the sun's light. And you could look around and go, you know, we just woke up, so I'm pretty sure it's over there, still kind of eastish. And they could find the sun. And and then someone said, quick, write that down. That's good knowledge for future generations. And off we went. So there you go, on that deal. Much learning today, whole lot of learning, and I think we'll settle on this one, because that combines both the mystical nature perhaps of what we're seeing today, as well. But I'm gonna shorten it. So anyway, don't worry, you will hear the crap out of this today. But just not the blanking crap out of it. So, I had a good week. I was on a combined day road trip and staycation vacation for me. And way less baseball than I thought. I thought it would be on constantly at home. It was not. And nearly went to, we opened up the vacation with a Saturday, Sunday foray up to Awajimaya, the Japanese store up here last Saturday. And there was a homestand for the Mariners, and I'm so glad we didn't go. Because it was Seattle, downtown Seattle was in rare bum-friendly form, and which is why we get up here early and get out of here by one. But it was packed, and otherwise we went to places that were not packed on the Oregon coast and had fun. And so I'm minding my own business as usual, driving through Portland on Saturday. You know where the $1.32 billion ticket was sold, producer Wyatt, who clearly didn't win it, neither did I.
Yeah.
Northeast Portland.
Wow.
Ha-ha, state taxes, B. How do you like that? How do you like me now? So, yeah, it was sold. They even got the zip code down. And if you're listening to me on AM 770 KTTH, by the way, you didn't win, but
Powerball ticket is worth exactly $1.3 billion. It's the highest prize ever sold in Oregon, and we know that the ticket was sold at a location in the 97218 zip code of Northeast Port.
There you go. I lived in that zip code in St. John's, a lovely suburb of of your Portland. So anyway, someone in Oregon or someone who bought a ticket in Oregon is going to be real happy. There was like four locations or something in that zip code. They narrowed it down or whatever, but someone's got to get an accountant. And I'm not sure if Oregon's one of those states where you have to be identified, which I still don't understand that law, or if we do it. I don't get why you would have states that would require a face and a name to be on TV. I wouldn't want that this morning. If I was lucky Oregonian, that's a media title that we all want. Well, another week, and we can't close out a week without Boeing being in the news because of a mayday.
Let's go ahead and declare an emergency for Southwest 3695, and we'd like an immediate return. We got a piece of the engine cowling hanging off, apparently.
Southwest 3695, roger that, turn left heading 190.
Well, so they did declare an emergency at Southwest 737-800, return to Denver. And it's a weird one because correct me if I'm wrong, but 737-800s and all the new ones, all the new Maxes, they all have thrust reversers, and a thrust reverser is a piece of the engine cowling, a big collar, like such as a wedding ring or something like that. And upon landing, not at all airports, but many airports, to get off that runway as soon as possible, you engage a thrust reverser, and it literally reverses the thrust. It's the outer part of the engine, the cowling, is the fairing that makes the engine aerodynamic, right? And so someone said, John McThrust Reverser said decades ago, what if we made that thing actuate and detour the turbofan thrust so that it goes forward when that thing is up? It's like a little wind collar, right? And that's what in the video that you see, it's always whatever 28F is always got his camera out when the plane goes wacky. It's like it's part of the briefing. If you're there at the exit row, you'll have to have your engine out and shoot video. And it appears to be the outer fairing of the thrust reverser, but the thrust reverser didn't actuate, or else they would not be an airplane anymore. So anyway, another great week, kicking off a great week with good news from Boeing, we'll take a deep dive here at the bottom of the hour about this time last Monday when a errant drone strike against a convoy of an NGO that I never heard of till last year. And this celebrity chef who thinks he knows all about how to operate in a war zone. It's one thing to go to Haiti after a hurricane or an earthquake, or go to Hawaii after a wildfire or whatever. But the guy is addicted to the camera, and he killed his people. But I got to say, if you had me as a someone that liaised and worked with NGOs in Bosnia and did it in Baghdad when the world hated America for a year and a half and everybody was operating just whatever foundation, the Handout Teddy Bears Foundation. If you had me set up a friendly fire incident, I couldn't do any better than what he did. And does he have anybody employed that can maybe train his people on what not to do? Because these people, who I'm sure meant well, did everything wrong in a non-permissive environment. And seeing the media grab onto it and turn it into Netanyahu's fault or whatever is putting an extraordinary amount of pressure on Israel at a point when they're about to win a war to defeat and remove Hamas as their next door neighbor. Imagine that, not wanting those guys as your next door neighbor. And that make no bones about it. That is what's going on, that the White House is so afraid of what is going to happen if they lose Michigan, that they're throwing Netanyahu under the bus. I mean, to the point where Democratic operatives are physically on the ground organizing these anti-Netanyahu protests at night, one of which a couple days ago had to be broken up with the mounted police. because they're using BLM tactics in a allied democracy. Remember, this is the crew that constantly wants is always telling us that democracy is on the ballot, but absolutely interfering with one of the closest democracies that we're allied with. I'll show you the receipts on that coming up with, and we'll hear from Jose Andres, who's clearly an expert in drone operations, telling the IDF what they should do, telling Martha Raddatz of ABC how to run a drone campaign. The story of Ariel Garcia, the boy's grandmother had filed a petition for custody. And in this state, there's a belief, there's a loophole that habitual drug use is not ground for removal. It's insane. It is insane. And if you got that Amber Alert yesterday morning, that boy was returned because his druggy mom just got out of prison and came and kidnapped him from the father's, from his own grandmother's house. The father has sole physical legal custody and had the boy at his mom's. And so mom out of prison comes and steals the kid, knowing that the boy was in the possession of her former mother-in-law, came and got the boy. The boy was returned. Unlike Ariel Garcia, where the grandma tried to do the right thing, but the mother, who was crazy when she was on drugs, murdered her own kid and took him down to, south of Centralia, but between Kalama and Portland, but left the boy on the side of the road on I-5. And so luckily that was not the outcome yesterday, but mother, father, whoever, if a custodial parent is on drugs, they're not a parent anymore. They're not parenting. They're serving the drugs, and that has to be understood. This is not like alcoholic dad or whatever, because that guy's going to drive drunk with the kids in the car one day and get pulled over, and he'll never get a visit again. He'll never get them for the weekend again. But fentanyl's different. It is different. It's just different. Opioids in general are just different. If your daughter-in-law or your sister, whatever, has custody of their kids and they're fentanyl addicts, they don't care about the kids. They care about getting the fentanyl. And that's just the way that works. But luckily, it worked out fine for a kid out in Bremerton, and Channel 4 was there when the father was reunited with his son. I mean, this is a really lucky outcome. Given what happened a week ago, this was a good story.
The Kitsap County Sheriff's Office said the boy was abducted by his mother in Bremerton. She's now in custody. Como's Karina Vargas was there as the boy and his father were reunited.
Good news, though. We have her in custody, and we have Teddy as well.
You do? Oh, my gosh. Where's my son?
Our cameras caught the moment authorities told Derek Templeton Teddy's...
And it's the best news he's ever going to get. That they, especially in this news climate, if he'd heard about that story last week about Ariel Garcia out of Everett, that would be the best news that you would get. And the silver lining on this is now mom's in custody. She's violated parole. Now she'll have a restraining order slapped on her and the whole thing. Because in this state, on the West Coast, in Washington, Oregon, and California, there's a default assumption that the kid is always better with the mother. Okay, you have an uphill battle. And I got to say, if I'm unaware of a group or a bunch of group hugs about how to teach fathers how to navigate this territory, but that's the silver lining is it's horrible, it's heart-wrenching, but sometimes the best thing you can do for your kid is stop being the chairman of the committee to try to save a family and be the chairman of the committee to raise a kid and just call the ball on that one, Maverick. A lot of things we'll get to. By the way, we'll do a checking of your texting here at 800-465-8770. I'm back, and a montage of, I always call out Biden on the thing where you feel some need to flat out make up a connection to the audience you're in front of when there is none. And his is pathological. And I didn't really understand this until I saw this montage today. So we'll play that for you when we come back. And remember, it's if it's cloudy, you can't see the sun.
Oh, so if it's a cloudy day, you miss it.
Right? That'd be a big yes on that one. So anyway, we're not even in totality's path. I'll shorten that up. All right, so 800-465-8770, checking the texting. Why is Botswana threatening to send elephants to Germany? This is the most unreported story, I think, on the face of the earth. When we come back, that answer, and how the administration is throwing Israel under the bus to win the election. It's true. I tell you, back in the second AM, 770 KTTH. KTTH Sprunch is here. And I'll show you what I did. I called it Holy Stab. It's in today's MP3 folder. And so I can say the Zeppelins that are led. See, and it's over. It's not going to linger forever. Because today is Totality's Path. The most hippy-dippy thing, I think, in the state of Washington is the half-scale Stonehenge overlooking the Columbia River, if you didn't know this. There's a half-scale Stonehenge model that's authentic, and it's literally on the same latitude as the original Stonehenge in England on Salisbury Plain. And there's people that go there at the various equinoxes, because that's what it was. It was a way to know to whatever, plant the corn or milk the goat or, you know, whatever. But it's worth Maryhill. It's worth a detour if you're road tripping. I know all the road trip detours, by the way. If you're stuck in a car with me, you're going to get nothing but the folksy anecdotes. And, okay, so this is actually called Bridge of the Gods. It's privately held and it takes you from Washington to Oregon. And I'm not worried about its maintenance, because there's a profit, margin in it. So who wants to hear Metallica sing a Elton John song? Anyone? Well, you don't have a choice, because it's going to be tonight. It's the duo of Elton John and Bernie Taupin, the songwriting duo, were honored with the Gershwin Award or something. And I guess a couple of years ago it was Garth Brooks and the whole thing. So now they've gotten around to the English people. So they had a bunch of different groups sing various Elton John, Bernie Taupin songs. One of my favorites is Love Lies Bleeding. And I should have had that ready for a bumper. But that's the one that goes da-da-da-da-da, and the long instrumental in it and all that. And so Metallica had their take at it. And and then they continue singing and they do the song. But I would have gone with Tiny Dancer. If I had Metallica lined up to do an Elton John song, I would have said, give them Tiny Dancer.
That would have been so cool. Metallica did a Tiny Dancer cover.
I mean, because I think Love Lies Bleeding is a great song, but it's, I don't know the words.
No.
I mean, I know that he says Love Lies Bleeding at some point, and I don't get the thing, but I mean, if you're showcasing his songwriting and you got Metallica, I would say, we're going to give you guys Tiny Dancer. And they're like, no, Love Lies Bleeding. Like and in the front row is, and this is at the Kennedy Center in D.C. In the front row is Ketanji Brown Jackson, the Supreme Court Justice, and her hubby. And they're performatively bobbing their heads to these angry men up there yelling. Yeah. Said,
So
if you care more about that, that's on government TV tonight. Publicly funded government TV tonight. Don't know when. I don't watch it, but there's that. Well, so speaking of Joe Biden lying about being from everywhere, or whatever the audience in front of him is, this is a montage that a Twitter feed, the White House's most hated Twitter feed, put together. This is the thing he does where he's in front of, you know, it's the old Spinal Tap joke about "Good evening, Cleveland." This is Cincinnati, whatever, you know, it's one of those. Wherever he is, whoever you are, he pretty much grew up amongst you is the deal there.
Everybody in town was either Polish or Italian. I grew up feeling self-conscious, my name.
I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community. I had a very close relationship with the Greek-American community, for real. I am Joe Bidenopoulos. I grew up in a heavily Irish Catholic community in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in a heavily Italian-Polish community.
When I say I got raised in the black church, he knows I'm not kidding.
The Persian culture.
I mean, you get it. Okay, I'm not going to play the full thing for you, but you get it. But wait, let's hear about how he's practically a Farsi speaker.
It is amazing. As a student of the Persian culture,
I probably.
Anyways, so he did that. I mean, I maintain, as a person who speaks for a living, that's a weakness, that the psychological rhetorical ploy that you have to find a connection with the audience. You know what? Just tell the audience this is my first time in a evangelical church or whatever. It's, you know, psychologically, I think you'd get more people agreeing with you at that point, and tell them that you're uncomfortable, and that works. Then they're going to go, oh well, he's in the path of rhetoric. So there's that. So here's what I'm talking about. About Botswana. Botswana threatened Germany with sending 20,000 elephants to wander freely around Germany. And there's a reason for this. This is hilarious, but they really did this.
Now, Botswana has threatened to send 20,000 elephants to Germany.
We will send a blitzkrieg of the elephant to the Deutschland. And here's why. If you've never been in the third world, you can get a poster or you can donate some money to a thing. But until you go there, you realize what a fraud the Western world is telling them to just stand on the coal that's 100 feet below their feet. Don't burn it for electricity. Just have babies by candlelight and the whole thing, and just don't advance. We crossed the finish line in the first world, and then we canceled the race. Now we've decided that we're the bad guys, and so none of you can have electricity, so screw you. It's the same with wildlife. The elephants have rebounded. We were hunting them to death, and then we stopped. And what Botswana and Zambia and Tanzania have discovered is that conservation run by trained people it involves herd management. Ask the bald eagles. And so what they've done is they have helped the elephant rebound so robustly that now it's trampling people and eating crops like it used to when they used to hire hunters to come whack a bull elephant. And so there are still people, awful, awful rich people, that still do that. And it funds the herd management. That's the model, is that you give set finite number of licenses to wealthy Germans, and they come, the Europeans come, and they hire locals as guides. Because the locals are trained, and their training is funded by the licenses that the government of Botswana has sold to the Germans, or the Belgians, or the Americans, and it makes them a lot of money. And so the Germans banned trophy hunting for elephants and various other animals. But the money maker in Botswana is the elephant. You know how South Africa Angola, the rest of them, their number one industry is tourism. And Uncle Olaf going to Botswana and whacking an elephant, that costs a lot of money. To buy one of those licenses, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you know what hundreds of thousands of dollars is in BF Botswana? A lot of money. And then to be told that, nearly half the annual hunters are not going to be able to take the fruits of their labor or whatever. You know, it's work. You got to walk out there and got to find one and shoot it. And then someone else has to hack it up for you and the whole thing. But, I mean, it represents a tremendous amount of money for Botswana. And now you have first world problems where they've decided in Germany that elephants are still extinct. They haven't done a census of them. If you haven't been paying attention, Botswana has been exporting elephants to neighboring countries for years. They'll say, you need 10,000, 10 or 20,000. What do you need? We'll send them to you because they're overrunning. If they're not eating the crops outright, they're overrunning the crops. So that is a object lesson for first worlders. Another one is when your friend is in the process of winning a war, they might take it personal if you stop them. And that's called a full Netanyahu. So we'll get to that here in just a second. 800-465-8770, my first checking the texting in a week. So be good at this. And also, one week after the friendly fire, the accidental attack on a World Central Kitchen convoy, Chef Andres speaks out.
Obviously, I would like to see high quality of the video,
high quality of the video. He doesn't even know what he's talking about, but we'll break that apart when we come back and checking of your texting right after this on AM 770 KTTH. To hear with 60 Minutes last night on this, and I fired off a fiery tweet, AM 770 KTTH, because 60 Minutes was being part of the disinformation train on the World Central Kitchen friendly fire thing, and I tagged the wrong dude on this. Chef Jose Andres is at Chef Jose Andres on this, not the guy that I tagged. So I'm sorry. But anyway, the disinfo part for 60 Minutes was, let me play this bit right here without, is just the characterization of what happened in the Gaza Strip.
International outrage over Israel's attack, killing seven aid workers in Gaza this past Monday, didn't fade during the week. The anti-hunger agency, World Central Kitchen,
What a coincidence, I'm anti-hunger too,
is familiar to 60 Minutes viewers. We have seen Chef Jose Andres and his colleagues feeding the hungry in war and natural disasters across the world.
Not like this. Being 100 miles from the actual pew-pew in Ukraine is not like interoperating amongst the IDF and underneath their drones.
Puerto Rico, Haiti.
And by the way, hurricanes and earthquakes don't count. But so anyway, part of the disinfo that this is like that. What's clear to me in my review would be that the IDF is the agency that's going to investigate itself. All police departments sometimes will have a adjacent police department do a use of force or use of deadly force investigation or something like that. But a competent first world military, which the Israelis are possess, can investigate itself. And Israel has loads of past history where they did actually investigate themselves and find their own officers if they were guilty of a breach or breach of protocol or rules of engagement or whatever. They were just disciplined. The last prime minister before Netanyahu, Naftali, what's his name? He was part of a friendly fire incident in Lebanon and was found to be responsible for that. But so anyway, he sat down with ABC in the morning. This is Chef Jose Andres, who's the founder of World Central Kitchen, and blamed IDF and said, well, because they dropped three small diameter bombs on three different trucks. And
obviously, I would like to see high quality of the video, high quality of the images.
And if he's hard to understand, he's saying, I would like to see high quality of the video, of the images. And we'll get into this in a second.
Door that probably those logos were visible. They were white cars. That logo is very colorful.
Okay. As a former targeter who's familiar with the Israelis, all the American imagery that you're seeing, there's a real basic thing, and what about this? Like I say, if you had told me, write the recipe for a unfortunate collateral damage incident, I would say any color of car, unless it's glow in the dark, make it go at night. And if you're going to have a car full of aid workers, have it be a four-door Toyota Hilux, just like the Taliban drive everywhere. That's what they were driving, and they were white. When the sun was up at night, you know what a white car looks like on a street with no street lights? It looks like a car moving, and their logo is not infrared reflective. There's no tags on the car, no IFF, no identification friend or foe. There's a reason that American soldiers go to war with that flag on the right shoulder and the blue field forward, because it's always forward. It's infrared. It's a infrared reflector. Sometimes they're subdued. Sometimes they're full color, red, white, and blue. But they're infrared reflectors. And, I mean, literally, it's sewn into American uniforms. And you glue one on top of your helmet. So that from the air, whether it's an AC-130 or anything that can emit active infrared, you get a reflection right back like a flashlight. And his cars didn't have that. And so I wonder, did they have anybody whose advice came from tactical experience or training? Because I did both. As the information, as the fire support officer of my infantry company in Baghdad, whenever we had a reporter or an NGO operating, I made sure we coordinated with them, meaning I want your cell number. I want you to have mine. I will answer it. If I need a translator, I'll hand it to one. And tell me what you're driving. And even the UN does better than these guys. In Bosnia, the UN and the OSCE, the Office for the Security and Cooperation in Europe, part of the UN, they drive white Toyotas with their initials on the side of the car in black letters, UN or OSCE. And if you're smart, in the media, you take duct tape, you can find infrared duct tape, or I'll give you some, and you're going to put either TV on the side of your car or press. Those are universally known. Even the Russian media in Ukraine wear press on their outer tactical vests. If he had asked me to consult, I would have given that as a freebie. Mark your vehicle. If you're operating in it, first of all, don't operate at night. But if you are, have your vehicles marked. But they were not. And they're getting absolutely, the Israelis are taking the hit on this one. And I read the report that the Israelis released yesterday. They are going to produce, and they better watch it. This guy better watch it, him and his reputation. But they'll cover for him on MSNBC. Because you don't distribute aid in Gaza without wetting Hamas's beak, without their imprimatur, their thumbprint, their approval. In other words, they have to get a piece of the action. And right now, worldwide chef Jose Andres, also a drone expert, is making more money in donations he's ever seen. He's addicted to this week. So there's that part of the story that you're not being told. It's unfortunate what happened to those seven people. Really unfortunate. As you see, the Israelis hit what they aimed for. And if you're in a convoy and there's going to be footage of one of the Toyota Hilux pickups had a Hamas fighter escorting them, riding in the back with an AK. And he announced that they were coming down the road by firing. So you're a drone operator, and you know that Hamas is running that food distribution, and then you see a convoy of four Hamas trucks, four Toyota Helixes in line. They're not marked. Maybe you can see the logo when the sun comes up. That's when all the footage you've seen of the convoy is when the sun's up. So now you can't see any identifying marks, Red Cross, no nothing. And you see a guy firing an AK. So what do you do? Turn to does Israel have a JAG in their kill chain like we do? I don't know. But at some point, the adults in the room are saying, yeah, take them out. Because you see no counter argument on that one. So here I'm talking a big game about checking of the texting, and I haven't curated any. 206 is Brian, you rock. That's a good text. I like that. Brian Cheney is back. How many chicks did you end up with? I hope you did. What the hell? We got extra, so you got more of it. Anyway.
I was looking at that one, too, and yeah, I was still trying to figure out what that meant.
Yeah. Oh, he meant young chickens. That's what I'm talking about. We haven't set up for that yet. That's going to require a day or two of work. And I know I just had seven in a row, but... so there's that, or nine in a row. I promise we will curate some. Where's Greg curating the text today? Well, folks, guess who's a turncoat? Greg is filling in for Seattle's most beloved radio personality, Dave Ross, today. You're back Thursday, Friday.
Yes, yeah, so I'm today, okay. And then Thursday, Friday, you'll hear my wonderful voice.
Okay. We should get Dave Ross to come in and fill in for Greg.
There you go.
Something like that. Best of luck there. And that was my first week at Cairo, was filling in for Dave Ross when he went on vacation. That was some pressure. That was some boots to fill, I'll tell you what. All right, when we come back, a Amber Alert that you got yesterday morning. With a happy ending, especially made more happy by the very sad ending from last week. A 4-year-old killed by his own mother, being held in Snohomish County, allegedly. And I don't have to say that, but I will. But that and the continued coverage of Totality's Path. And again... don't juggle lava. Don't shave your head with a cheese grater. Don't stare at the sun for the millionth time. Back in a second with a touch into local news. And does Boeing have a statement about the whole thing about the fairing on the engine on the Southwest plane coming off in flight and all that as they continue to watch their stock price take hit after hit after hit? Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.